podcast featuring interviews and commentary from Animal Rights Zone, the online social network for humans who seek justice for other animals. You can find us on the web at www.arzone.net. I'm your host, Carolyn Bailey. Today's episode features a conversation between myself, Ronnie Lee, and Tim Geyer on the subject of alliance politics. In recent AR Zone podcasts and online interviews, various members of the global social justice movement for other animals have spoken about whether those of us in the movement need to align ourselves with those in other social movements. The question is, would our working with other movements help those movements at the expense of our efforts on behalf of other animals, or would we be able to accomplish more for other humans as well as other animals by allying ourselves with other advocates and causes? Ronnie, what do you think?
You can look at alliance politics in kind of different ways, but kind of whatever way I look at it, it kind of still works for me. If you look at it just from the point of view of, right, we want to put an end to the oppression of animals, how are we going to go about that? What strategy are we going to use? What tactics are we going to use to do that? If we're only thinking about animals, then to me, alliance politics still makes sense. And the reason for that is in order to kind of bring in legislation or create a social system or whatever where animals are going to be properly treated, we're not going to be able to do that on our own. It's got to be in alliance with lots of other people who care about other progressive causes. That's the only way we're going to do that. So from that point of view, it makes sense to make an alliance with those people. Even if our only concern is for the animals, but I do feel like our concern should be wider than that, and caring about animals is just one part of wanting a better world for all the creatures that live on the planet, including human beings. And so all these other causes have their own value as well. It's just that we, people like us, we tend to concentrate on animals. It's campaigning for animals maybe that rings our bell, and so we concentrate on that. But that doesn't mean we don't care about other things. And I'd just like to see a situation where people who concentrate on what we might call other good causes, that there's some part of them that cares about animals. So even though all their work's maybe devoted to the rights of women or the rights of black people or to homeless people or whatever, that those people that are campaigning on those issues would at least be vegan, even if they don't actually campaign for animals or are involved in vegan outreach, but they are kind of vegan themselves. And I think that, that's the kind of thing we should be trying to, we should be trying to kind of lead those people towards, because there obviously are people that care, that they don't see the world as powers that be would like them to see the world. They've got a different vision of the world, of a better place, at least for people. So they're thinking differently to the norm anyway. And so I think when you've got people like that, it can be easier to get them to think about veganism.
I agree with what Ronnie said. I think that it's very important to align ourselves with those who, as Ronnie said, are thoughtful people that are aware of a lot of different issues. But I wonder how you'd feel, Ronnie, about aligning with people who are not vegan but who have been made aware of the plight of other animals and the oppression of the other animals, but choose, for whatever reason, just not to become vegan or even vegetarian.
Well, I think we still need to make an alliance with them. I would hope that eventually they would decide to become vegan. But I think we still have to to make that alliance. I mean, that's very much what I do with my involvement in the Green Party, because the Green Party is really an alliance of people that, you know, care about progressive causes. And there are, you know, unfortunately, quite a lot of people in the Green Party who aren't vegan or even vegetarian. A lot of people are, you know, in the party, but there's a lot that aren't. But because I feel political power needs to be gained, we need to gain political power to pass legislation to protect animals. That has to be done through a political party, and I feel therefore the Green Party is the best party to do that, the most likely party to be able to do that in any significant way, which is why I'm involved in it. And in order to do that, in order to hopefully eventually get the Green Party into power, that means working with other people within the party who don't necessarily share the same views on everything that I do. And some of the views they may not share are to do with veganism. But that's kind of really how it's got to be. So still make an alliance with those people. But all the time I'm trying to get them to see the light, all the time I'm trying to get them to become vegan or to move towards veganism.
Right. Say if there's a slaughterhouse that's been in business, say, for 20 years or longer, and advocates are calling to have it closed down because of an undercover investigation that showed that it was particularly, in inverted commas, crueler than other slaughterhouses. Those advocates are joined by people from other social justice movements who are not vegan or vegetarian. They still eat and use other animals who are slaughtered in different slaughterhouses. They know the arguments for not doing so, like from the perspective of animal advocates, but they still choose to continue their consumption of other animals. Would you welcome somebody like that in joining in a protest to have that particular slaughterhouse closed down? Would you be happy to align yourself with somebody like that? Or would you consider that problematic?
Yeah, I mean, are you asking me, Caroline, or is this for both of us?
For anybody. It's just something I was thinking about in regard to alliance politics. I know that a lot of advocates for other animals do have problems with aligning themselves with people from other social justice movements who refuse to become vegan or vegetarian. And I'm just not sure where people would draw the line. I know that I think people would welcome others in something like a circus protest or in closing down vivisection or something like that. But I'm not sure how people would feel about this particular scenario.
What do you feel about that, Tim?
I'd like to hear what you have to you have a lot more experience, you know, doing protests and being involved in that way than I do. So, I mean, the way I think about it comes at it from just, you know, I've been thinking about it. You've actually been out there doing it. So I think I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Well, I think, first of all, I don't think I'd be involved in that kind of protest, you know, protesting against slaughterhouse because it's slightly worse than other slaughterhouses. I mean, I'd be involved in just educating people to be vegan because I don't think that would be the best use of my time and effort to just get one particular slaughterhouse closed, when all that would mean is that would make any difference to the number of animals slaughtered, because people would just be buying their meat elsewhere. So that isn't a protest I'd get involved in anyway. So it's kind of quite hard for me to answer that. I mean, we have people over here that protest against halal meat and kosher meat because they say the animals are slaughtered by crueler methods than, you know, than the normal kind of so-called Western methods of slaughtering animals. But once again, that's not a thing I'd get involved in, because it's kind of a lot of effort for such small difference. Those animals are still killed, and I think there's a lot of cruelty in, you know, the type of slaughter that goes on in ordinary slaughterhouses anyway.
Absolutely, it can be worse in some circumstances.
Yes, I think that I think that's very true. So it's to me, it's not worth getting involved in something like that. To me, it's far better to educate people to be vegan and to kind of try to put an end to slaughter of animals as a whole. But I kind of see what you're getting at with the question, and that you'll get people that. But I'm just trying to think. I can't think of a situation where I get involved in the a protest to get any particular slaughterhouse closed down without wanting to get all slaughterhouses closed down, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely.
So, a difficult one for me to answer. But yeah, I mean, those people may well come along on the... I mean, when I was very much involved in campaign for greyhounds, people used to come along to the demos outside the greyhound tracks, and some of those people wouldn't be vegan or wouldn't be vegetarian. They'd be people that simply cared about greyhounds or cared about dogs, but they'd still eat all their animals. I remember going to a court case. There was a guy that was he killed a greyhound in a very cruel way, and he was actually arrested and charged. And he was in court, and we had a demo outside the court, and there were people there munching away on meat sandwiches and even offering me meat sandwiches, and I was having to explain no thank you because I'm a vegan. So you kind of had you had that situation there where there were people that were eating meat at a demo against this guy that had been cruel to a greyhound, and probably, you know, there was as much cruelty in the production of that meat that went in their sandwiches as there was to the greyhound that this guy had killed. But in a sense, I kind of welcome those people on that kind of a protest, because it does give an opportunity to educate them about veganism. If you said no, we're not having you on the protest because you're a meat eater, then I think you'd lose that opportunity. And it was something that happened with the protests against live exports that were going on. They still go on to some extent, but they were kind of much bigger a few years ago. When they were sending, I think it was mainly sheep. Sending them, you know, across into mainland Europe, and people were protesting against that because of the suffering involved in the journey, and I think other people were concerned about how these animals would be slaughtered in other countries, even though a lot of those same people still ate animals that were slaughtered in this country.
We had that here last year as well.
It's like these cruel foreigners. We kill animals more kindly in our country than those horrible foreigners kill animals in our country. You know, it's that kind of, element of racism involved in it.
Yeah, it's like kill them at home. You know, they deserve better. We shouldn't send them to Indonesia or to Kuwait or wherever. You know, kill them at home, because we need to give. They were literally holding signs that said, "Please let me die at home," in support of the live cows being exported overseas.
That's just sick, really, in a sense.
And the organisations are supporting and encouraging that sort of train of thought, which is the thing that's the most frustrating for me. I mean, I can understand people thinking that way, because, you know, it's just the way people think in general. But when we have organisations that are supporting that, and organisations that are doing nationwide advertising campaigns featuring slaughterhouse workers saying, you know, don't take my job away from me, ban live export because I need my job slaughtering cows in Australia, and that's things like that are put out by the biggest animal advocacy organisation in the country.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you can't support that.
It's almost as if they take eating animals as a given.
Yes.
You know, that's just something that happens. It's something that everyone does. So we're not going to think about that. We're just going to try and you know, improve things a bit if we can for the animals that are slaughtered. They're not thinking kind of beyond that point at all. The point I was going to make regarding those protests against live exports was that because quite a lot of the people that took part in those protests were vegans. Now, those weren't really protests. I never went on any of those protests because I had misgivings about it, in thinking, well, really, you know, what we should be doing is just persuading people to be vegan. And then if we're concerned about what happens to those animals going to other countries, then we need to support the movements in those countries that are trying to get people to be vegan, so that that demand for the animals then dies away. That was kind of my approach. But nevertheless, there were a lot of vegans that went on those protests. And what happened was they converted really quite a lot of the other people to veganism, or at least to vegetarianism, because those people who obviously cared about animals, they hadn't got it all worked out properly in their head. And so they were, you know, there was inconsistencies. You know, they'd be eating animals while protesting against these animals being sent abroad. So very inconsistent. But there was a basis of care. They were doing it out of concern for animals. So once they rubbed shoulders with vegans and got talking to people that were vegans, quite a lot of the people that had started off going on those protests as meat eaters ended up becoming vegan. So there was some positive that came out of it.
Yeah, that's a really fair argument too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, you know, I'd say that the main thing that came out of those protests was that more than anything else, because I don't think that really that those live exports still go on. I think they were stopped for other reasons for a while, when we had worries about BSE and that kind of thing going on, and foot and mouth and that sort of thing. And that was in this country. That put a stop to a lot of those exports. So it was for other reasons that they stopped. There was some success in stopping some of the transportations, you know, through protests. But to me, the main gain that came out of it.
So from the standpoint then of the idea of alliance politics, then what, you know, it would seem like the sort of thing that you would hope would happen would be that if you did go on some protest, you know, whichever kind you might go on, whether it was Greyhounds or an anti-vivisection campaign or whatever you were doing that was a protest, and there are other people involved in the Green Party, for example, and they wanted to come along on that protest, even though they weren't vegan, you wouldn't say, no, you're not welcome here, would you?
No, not at all, no. No, because I'd still want them to come along, because through coming along, they would rub shoulders with other people that were vegan, and hopefully that would rub off on them and they eventually become vegan as well. It's similar to what I experienced. I've mentioned this a few times, I think, already on podcasts. When I was involved in the Hunt Saboteurs group in North London, and the few of us that kind of ran the group, we were vegan, but all the people that came along to join, almost all of those people were meat eaters, and they joined because they were concerned about the animals that were being hunted, and they wanted to go out and, you know, stop the foxes and the hares and the otters at the time, because I think there was otter hunting was still going on. They wanted to stop those creatures from being killed, and a lot of them were determined when they heard that we were vegan. They said, oh no, we're not interested in that, you'll never get us to be vegan, we just want to save these wild animals. But almost everyone that got involved in that group became vegan eventually, and the few that didn't become vegan became vegetarian, and that was just through through us being vegan and those people rubbing shoulders with us and work campaigning with us, they became vegan, and with a lot of them, most of it didn't happen straight away. You know, it could take a few months with some people, but we had a really high success rate in getting people to be vegan. And even though we didn't really deliberately set out to do that, I mean, we were there to go out and stop the hunts from killing animals, but just through working with us, it rubbed off on people. So I think it is. I think we should. If those people care about animals and want to come along on these protests, I think it is important not to stop them from coming along.
I agree with that.
Well, that makes sense, because you'd think that people that want to be involved in protesting some form of animal abuse would be more open. If they're around people that are sincere in their beliefs about being vegan and all the other issues that surround animal rights, you'd think that as they're exposed to those ideas that's certainly what we hope, is that as more people are exposed to our ideas that they'll accept that the ideas make sense. I mean, that's sort of the whole basis of the movement. So it seems like Alliance Politics, although I'm sure it can be frustrating, because I can imagine that people who are involved in campaigning and who get involved in a particular social movement might end up having the sense that it's a one-sided sort of thing, where I'm supporting what they're concerned about, but I don't get any support back from my cause because they still aren't vegan or aren't vegetarian. And I guess it could be frustrating from that standpoint, but I mean, it seems like the whole world is sort of on that side of the fence, so it wouldn't seem to be a heck of a lot more frustrating than just dealing with everybody else on the planet. And it seems like there'd be more, there's a potential upside to it, because if they're willing to help in your cause, it seems like that's better than people who aren't willing to help.
Yeah, I mean, I think there'd be times with some of these groups where you'll go along to help with their cause, but they won't come to help with ours.
Yeah,
if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
But I think that's something that we have to kind of put up with. I think it is important to get involved. Of course, there's the whole question of time and resources. To what extent we can get involved in other issues apart from, campaigning to protect animals, because obviously if that's the thing we're concentrating on, there's not going to be too much time for other things. But we, to some extent, we probably still can get involved in those things. I mean, I'm involved in a local Friends of the Earth group, who are basically, environmentalists. I don't know whether Friends of the Earth are in the USA and Australia as well, or whether it's just a UK organisation. I'm involved in that because, I see the protection of the environment really as an animal liberation issue, because I think damage to the environment harms animals even more than it harms other animals, I should say, even more than it harms human beings. So I'll get involved in, environmental protection things for that reason. Although I know that quite a lot of the other people involved in it aren't involved in it for the animals. They purely think about the effect on humans of damage to the environment. But while I'm there working with them, I can explain the importance of going vegan in terms of the environment, how much damage to the environment the consumption of animal products causes. So that's how I can kind of put an environmental spin on it, to try to get those people thinking about the issue.
I agree with that too, Ronnie. I think habitat destruction is a huge issue in terms of other animals and being vegan. And I think it was it Anthony Nocella recently that said that we shouldn't avoid being involved with other social justice movements simply because those people are not vegan. We should do things that we, like, involve ourselves with things that we think that are important and not sort of make the mistake of thinking that the animal liberation movement is the only movement that's important.
Yeah, that's what he said. And what it seemed to me that if you're going to work on a campaign because you know that it's the environment, say, is an issue that that impacts other animals and it's important from the standpoint of habitat and whatnot, whether the other people that are involved in that movement are doing it for the same reason, if you're both working for the same ultimate goal, then whether they're doing it for the benefits that you want, if you achieve your goal, you get the benefits that you want. So if it's, you know, so if it's better for the other animals that you that something happens, you know, positive for the environment, then it's better for the other animals, regardless of what the motivation of the people that are. I mean, you'd love to think that everybody would just get on board with the animal rights and the vegan message. But if the idea is to make a difference and to make change happen, then it seems like that. What difference does it make if they don't share your motivation, as long as they're working for a goal that doesn't, you know, that doesn't hurt you, or better, that gets you the same place that you're trying to go anyway. It's hard to imagine why you'd say I just can't work with anybody unless they're 100% in my corner already. I just can't work with anybody except people that already agree with me 100%. It seems like you can't work with anybody if that's the way you're gonna, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Because no two people, even vegans, are going to agree 100% on everything, are they? I mean, that's never going to happen, and we've got to accept.
Yeah, it's not been my experience.
But I think we've got to be flexible in the sense that we'll work with people on issues where we've got. It's far better to work with people on issues where there's common ground than to fight them, over the places where there's not common ground. I think, particularly if you agree on the vast amount of things.
Right.
Yep, I agree. Thank you for listening to AR Zone. Please visit us online at www.arzone.net and look for us on iTunes.